Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the first jobs I ever had when I was a kid, I was hired by a rather wealthy lady who had a beautiful garden, and she wanted me to do some trimming, pruning, that sort of stuff, and some weeding. So I did a marvelous job of all that, I guess, she said. She went out and looked at some of the flower beds, and some of her favorite flowers had been pulled out. I thought they were weeds. Wheat and tares. This is one of the one of many parables our Lord taught using agrarian terms. Of course, he's speaking about the church. And this particular parable becomes also an allegory. And of course, an allegory is a story that can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning, often of a moral message, a very deep moral message. This is also called a kingdom parable, which means it speaks about the church. This would come speaking of the early church by extension to us in the church that is on earth today. Though parts of the church have changed, the church and her message has not changed. The man in this parable, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sower of the seed. And one of the reasons he allowed the tares, perhaps, to be in the story, to be sown with the wheat, knew what happened, because he is God, he knew what happened. He chose to let go because he is willing that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. So even though he knows what we'll do, he'll not impede our free moral agency to do that which is right. So he's not caught off guard by this happening, because the one that assists him said, you know what, the weeds coming up with the tares are coming up with the wheat. And sort of going back to my story, the tares, like in this story, looked similar to wheat. And I pulled up flowers that looked like weeds. So that's why we don't pull up tares. The church, as we see in parts of the church, is in crisis. We wonder why God lets it go on. Get into things that we've heard lately that break my heart, and I'm sure your heart too, that in parts of the church, abortion is not seen as what it is, an egregious, grave, and mortal sin. And some clergy don't see anything wrong that being promulgated, late-term abortion being put in the law. But the church survives nonetheless. Our Lord said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the tares grow up with the wheat, as we see. The church is still doing what she has been commissioned to do, in spite of the tares here, there, and everywhere. At the harvest, which this speaks of, which the story tells, when the time of the harvest comes, first gather up the tares, put them in bundles, and burn them. Judgment is coming. I don't know if enough is said about that, that there is a heaven, a gain, and a hell to resist, to not have happen at all, not to happen to us. But hell is real. So we have to take this matter seriously of being faithful, which by your presence here you do take seriously. That the church doesn't change with the times, but the times should change with the church. But as we see, that doesn't seem to be happening. But there are the few, the chosen few, the remnant that will stand to the very end. And as St. Jude said, to contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints, that the message has not changed. The New Testament standards of morality have not changed. This is the last of the Epiphany tide. This Sunday is known as one of those floating Sundays, because these propers that we're using today are similar to the ones used in the last part of Trinity. So they go back and forth. And it's good that we have these extra Sundays in Epiphany so we can get into matters such as this about, you know, what the church is and the problems within the church. Next week we go onward into the Judgment Sundays. This is a time of preparation. I try to go to the gym and try to keep fit. And this is sort of the same thing. Next week you'll see St. Paul talks about getting ready for the race, girding up our strength to get into that time of spiritual combat that we're going to encounter in Lent. And as we prepare for that, we need to train, as St. Paul says, to get ready for that race. And do not throw our hands in the air just spinning around, but rather doing things that are constructive, setting up disciplines of prayer, fasting if God calls you to do that during Lent. The old theme of giving up something, which is good. It's something that's meaningful to you, that you can do well without, that's good. But it's also in the place of doing something, to in its place put something that you haven't been doing before. And of course the recommendation is an increased prayer life, reading the daily offices morning and evening. It takes 10 to 15 minutes to do. Attending special services that might be available during Lent season. So with this is the end of the Epiphany season, and next week we begin that journey towards Lent. I'm glad the church has those Judgment Sundays, so you don't go from the joy and the glory of the Epiphany tide right into Lent, but that there was this period of 3 Sundays to prepare, to just start thinking about it and make some good and constructive decisions about how we'll keep a holy Lent. And I always remember that it was told me, the more holy a Lent you keep, the happier your Easter will be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.